Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gaberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. Life comes at us one day at a time, and with each day that we have, we can do things that allow us to live a better life. It's not something that you go to bed and you wake up and then bam, all the changes happen. It is something that happens gradually. It is a way of getting better every single day. And that's going to be the focus of this episode. Today's guest is a certified personal trainer and behavior change specialist whose goal is to help people change their lives for the better. As a public speaker, Inc. magazine contributor, life coach, and best-selling author, today's guest spent the first half of his life obese and much of the second half trying not to be obese again until he discovered the approach to change all of that. Do a day. Using Do a Day, Brian was able to break from this pattern to live a life of consistent, unending life of health and wellness. He works to share what he's learned with others, seeking a happier, more complete existence through new bodies, and that is new, BODI.ES. Today's guest for episode 140 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Brian Falchuk. Brian, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mark. Really excited to be here.
Brian, I'm also really excited to dive deep into this episode. But before we go deep into it, I'd love to get some backstory. So when did you discover the do-a-day approach?
Yeah, so I kind of had it thrust upon me. Or not kind of, I completely did. Real quick backstory leading up to it is that I was the fat kid growing up. I was about 100 pounds overweight. And yeah, I was eating too much and moving too little, but those were symptoms. The symptoms were of this underlying anxiety and depression that was tied to my parents getting divorced when I was really little and feeling like, you know, everything's not safe, not okay, not going to be safe or okay. And I was only like 5 or 6 at the time when this was going down. So I didn't have the means to do that, to provide those feelings for myself or to take care of myself. I was too little. So I turned to food for comfort, and that just kind of got out of control. The more I turned to food, the more I needed to turn to food, and my anxiety would build. And then you add into the mix this whole anxiety around being obese and the way that people judged me and looked at me and the way I felt and all of that. And that was sort of, that was the underlying stuff. And then fast forward to my teen years, I lost 100 pounds, but I never dealt with the issues. So in my 20s, I put about half of it back on. And at age 32, I was married. I had a 2-year-old kid and was in a job that was getting worse by the day. The founder had passed away, and the new leadership was sort of turning into this very political place, which is just not me. I had back surgery and never did PT. So I was living with pretty bad pain on a daily basis. And I still had all this, you know, this junk, this anxiety and issues from my childhood that I never faced. That's the backdrop. And then that summer, my wife, you know, we're just in our early 30s, just starting our family together, and she started wasting away and was in excruciating pain and really sick, and no one could figure out what was going on. And her doctors gave up on her. She was bedridden and losing 2 pounds a day still. And her doctor was going on vacation. It was just like, let's check in 6 weeks when I'm back. And I was just like, do the math. You know, she's not going to be here. And all he had to say was, okay, take her to the ER. And he hung up. And that's when Do a Day really hit me. Is it just put everything in perspective for me about, you know, what am I doing? Like, how am I living? I'm miserable. I'm not really living my life. I'm so unhappy with so many aspects of it. And now it looks like I'm going to be losing my wife. And my poor little son is, you know, just like 2.5 at this point. He's about to lose his mother and have one parent left. And the parent he's got is just totally failing him. Like, I was not the dad he needed. I mean, even if my wife was still going to be around, I wasn't the dad he needed. But certainly if it was just down to me, this little boy deserves better than that. And, you know, if I think about the anxiety and the issues that I had from my parents' divorce, like, my parents both stay alive. And, you know, losing your mother at that age is so definitional. I had to do better for everyone. And And one of the key things I realized is it's not just for them. It was actually for me too. Like, I actually deserve a better life for myself. And so the next morning, and you don't go to bed and wake up and everything's changed. You don't, but you can go to bed and wake up and feel this intense power from what's going on. And then you have a choice. You can choose to see it and let it slip away, or you can choose to do something and grab hold of it and use it as the lifeline that it really is. And that's exactly what I did. And so I started to change my life very explicitly and specifically. It was July 1st, 2011, and it hasn't stopped since then. And my wife is still alive. And that's partially because of my changes and partially because of changes that she made. But it's changes we made together. And, you know, my son is this amazing, happy, well-adjusted kid who's incredibly compassionate and thoughtful, and isn't anxiety ridden. You know, there's so many things from that initial moment that I wished were different that are different. And then there's all this other stuff that I've achieved that it's not just that they were impossibilities before any of this. They weren't even on the list for me to look at and be like, oh, that's impossible. Like, they weren't even in the realm of consideration. And that's ultimately what Do A Day is about. It's this moment that triggered everything that I now understand how I should be living my life, how I should reflect on my values and draw from that. And then how do you execute against your goals given that power?
Brian, that is an incredible backstory. And when you were talking about that, how you became obese, I mean, it just seems like a negative loop that felt infinite. And when we have these bad habits, like, they can feel like they're in this infinite loop, but you were able to snap out of that infinite loop. And for people who have these bad habits, maybe it's like surfing on the web or just something like that. Or it could be similar to your situation as well with getting in this eating frenzy cycle. How do you recommend we get out of these repetitive negative loops?
Yeah. So I think that rather than focusing on the habitual pattern, because that to me is a symptom. You know, it's like I said, I wasn't obese because I ate too much and moved too little. That those were facts, but that's not why I was fat. You don't sit there and just flick through your newsfeed or your Twitter feed or whatever incessantly because you're addicted to using your phone. The problem is you're doing things mindlessly. You know, I was eating mindlessly. I was feeding my emotional hole without really thinking about why I was doing that or what I was doing or how else might I fix this problem. Because, you know, just feeding into an addiction or following through on bad habits that are based on some emotional gap, doing that mindlessly is not making anything better. You know, it's like 5 minutes after I killed a bag of Oreos, I was hungry again because the reason I was eating was still there. It wasn't because I was hungry. You know, it had nothing to do with that. So what I really help people with is how to get to a place of living your life mindfully. And there's really three steps to set you up, and then it's about execution. But the first of the three steps, and this is probably the single most important thing, and it's about self-love. So you remember I said, it wasn't just about my son and my wife. It was actually me recognizing, like, hey, wait a second. Like, I deserve to have a better life. Like, why do I have to be miserable? I wasn't living my life. I would say I was an employee of it. And I was like a disgruntled employee at that. So why do I need to have that? Why do I have to be miserable all the time? Like, don't I deserve to have better than that? And the problem is we generally don't actually feel that way about ourselves. Society is very self-deprecating. You know, it's about, don't take a compliment, put yourself down. Don't, if you big yourself up too much, then you're an egotist and people won't like you. So if someone pays you a compliment, you know, like go to someone's house for dinner, tell them the food was really good. They're really quick to dismiss and be like, oh, thanks, but I overcooked this or, but I underseasoned that. Or, you know, like I remember in my first job, I had this really big presentation to a senior executive and one of my peers who was there was like, yeah, you did a great job. And I was like, oh, I totally lost them on this page. And, you know, I screwed up when I was presenting those numbers. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe I bombed on that page, but I did well overall. They accepted our proposal. We were moving forward. Like, I couldn't even see that because I was so busy focusing on where I screwed up and talking down the compliments. And we do it on big things and we do it on little things, but we're generally very uncomfortable with positivity about ourselves. So if you don't allow for the the idea that you deserve better, then there's no point to trying to be better because you're going to self-sabotage consciously or subconsciously. You know, you don't even believe you deserve it. So how could you possibly go for it? And the other piece of the equation is whether you're capable of it. So you might allow for the idea that, like, you know, I deserve to be loved, or I deserve to be better, or to enjoy my job, or to whatever, you know, it is that you want better in your life. But you might think you're not capable of doing it. And so again, like, what good is that? It's like, oh, I wish that I could lose 100 pounds, but I could never do that. Well, yeah, with that attitude, guess what? You can't do it. Because you've told yourself right up front, like, you're a failure, it's not going to happen. So the first step that's so important is self-love. And it's about allowing for the deservingness and allowing for the capability. The second thing is, for me, it was thrust upon me, but for people I coach, it's something I help them to find. Because most people don't have this, like, you know, gun in your face or facing life and death kind of moment. But it's about finding what really matters to you, your true purpose, your true motivation. And, you know, for me, it was like this moment where I thought I was going to lose my wife and what that meant to my son. And it just brought it all front and center. For other people, it's more of a questioning kind of process where, you know, I'll start to probe them on why they're doing something they're doing. Or when I ask them, like, what matters most to you, regardless of anything else that's happening? Like, what is it you will always care about no matter what? And whatever answer they give me, it's fine, but it's probably not the ultimate answer. So I will start pushing back and I'll ask them why. You know, it's like, why do you want to have a new job? It's like, well, because I have to pay the bills. Like, okay, well, guess what? Like, pay the bills is not a big enough purpose in life to keep you going through tough times. So why do you feel the need to pay the bills? And that might sound like a stupid question. Like, of course you have to pay the bills. But it's like, why do you have to pay the bills? And why is that the reason why you feel you need to work? And this is actually a conversation I had with someone I coached. Their first answer was about, well, I got to pay the bills. And then the next step in that is, like, it's not about just paying the bills. It's like, well, because I'm the breadwinner. It's like, oh, okay. So now what you're talking about is, first you're talking about, like, sending a check to the phone company or, you know, hopping online and putting in your credit card info. Now what you're talking about is actually, like, your role in your family. That's a little bit different. And so then it's like, well, why do you see yourself as a breadwinner? Why do you need to be the breadwinner? Because, you know, your spouse works too, or, you know, your kids are out of the house and they're self-supportive. So, like, who are you winning the bread for? And then we start you keep pushing on it and you get deeper and deeper. And what you ultimately end up at is a level that's about values and about morals and ethics and feelings, not about stuff and things. And that takes a lot of back and forth. And that's a really introspective thing that a lot of people can struggle with. And that's why I really do believe in people getting a coach. And that's not just because I do coaching, but I mean, I have one. You know, we all can benefit from someone who's going to challenge us and push us and just help us get better in touch with ourselves. So that's the second piece, is finding your true motivation, your true purpose. And then it's about serious goals. So goals that are really tied to what we're trying to achieve in life. So when I had 100 pounds to lose, the goal is not 10 pounds. The goal is 100 pounds. Now, I'm not going to do that all at once, but that's what I'm trying to ultimately achieve. And then I can break it down into something smaller and more manageable. But it's like a real ultimate goal. And then lastly, well, it's about, like, how do you even execute on any of that? And that's where the title Do a Day really comes in, is there's two key words, there's do and day. And I'll focus on day first. Every day, and you were getting at this in the intro, but every day you wake up and it's only right here, right now. The problem is we often live our life with all of this baggage from yesterday. So it's judgment of failures we've had or ways that we've been mistreated or, you know, hardships we've experienced, or maybe it's something that we've lost that we really long for. You know, whether it's a person or a thing or whatever, but we carry this pain from yesterday and we bring that into today and we make choices today relative to that pain. And we also do it with issues about tomorrow. So we live with fear and anxiety about all we have to do tomorrow and all the things that are going to go wrong. And if I don't do this right now, it's all going to fall apart. So, you know, it's like losing 100 pounds. Like, I lost the first pound and that was really hard. And it's like, oh my God, I still have 99 to go. And you just want to quit. But you know what? Like, you're not losing the other 99 right now. All those tomorrows that'll add up to 99 pounds, they're irrelevant because you're not there right now. So there's no sense in worrying about them. And worse yet, making choices and taking actions today in respect of all that anxiety, because it's not going to lead you to the best choices. When we make choices from a place of insecurity and fear and pain and anxiety, we make really bad choices. So then the word do comes in, and that's about every day you're making a proactive choice. Like, do is a verb. You got to do something in support of your goals just for the right here and right now. That's, in essence, what Do a Day is all about.
Brian, I mean, a lot of amazing insights within that answer. I mean, as a host, like, you want to segue into the next question by just recapping, but there's so much in there. I mean, like, the why behind the why, getting more clear on your actions. I mean, there's just so much in that answer. And one of the things that you brought us back to in that answer is this idea that, like, it was really close to you losing your wife and you being a father, just the only father.
Yeah, single parent.
Yeah. Single parent. So, and you both made, like, big changes to prevent that from happening. So I'm wondering, how are you able to make those changes, and what were the types of changes you were making?
So I was very clear on the three most pressing things that were facing me right then and there. That I had lots of other things that I wanted to get into, but there were three things that were really standing in the way that were under my control. I couldn't necessarily heal my wife, but I could be a better husband to her. So that, you know, that wasn't one of the three things, because that's not, like, directly in and of my own control. So the first thing was my weight. So I put on 45 pounds. I was 45 pounds overweight. And I felt miserable physically. So, you know, it's my back surgery issues, the weight, all of it. And so physically I was really miserable, and that was unacceptable to me. So July 1st to the end of the year, I wanted to lose I think I targeted 40 pounds at the time. I wanted to get down to 185, and I was like 222. So, you know, right around 40 pounds. And I didn't want to just lose the weight and then go back to the way I was. I wanted to reset what healthy meant to myself. But first I had to get to that place. So that was number one. And there were really specific things that I was going to do for that, around exercise and food choices. And one of the key things was I was exercising mindlessly. Like, I'd already been exercising, but it was pointless. I get on the elliptical, I'd block the screen with the magazine, and 30 minutes later, the thing's beeping because it's done. And maybe, you know, I was, like, slightly clammy with sweat, but I hadn't worked out, you know? Shockingly, 30 minutes is not a workout. It's what you do in those 30 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever. So I was going to very purposefully change the way I worked out and actually not block the screen, put on an interval program. When the interval hit, I was really going to bust it. I added a bunch of other exercises, and that became my morning routine. So I went into it with purpose. And I did that first one July 1st, and I was, like, totally spent at the end of it, but I had a huge smile on my face. You know, like, I was drenched with sweat, exhausted, but really happy and driven and, like, energized. I'm like, all right, I'm going to grab hold of this. I'm going to record what I did. I'm going to track my weight every day. I'm going to see my progress. I'm going to keep myself really true to it. Not like I weigh myself in the morning and then whatever happens, happens, and I'll just weigh myself tomorrow and see what happens. No, it's like everything I do, I'm focused on that weight goal. So I'm really creating a different kind of approach to wellness, which is what I did when I lost weight the first time. But the first time I did it was because I didn't want people to think of me as the fat kid anymore. I was in high school. I wanted girls to like me, like, all that kind of stuff. And then I went to college, thin, and no one knew me. So no one knew me as the fat kid. So guess what? My motivation was gone. Mm-hmm. It's like losing weight for beach season. Guess what? When beach season's over, are you going to stay thin? You know, like, your motivation was something that's kind of, like, external to you and time bound. So what happens when those things change? This time it was about the way I felt in my life and the kind of dad I am and the kind of husband I am and how I'm not there for any of the three of us in this family. That's not something that's ever going to change. And that's something that's so deep and values-based that, you know, it's going to stick with me. The other two things were, you know, I mentioned that job situation. So I was going to take some specific steps to start down the path of being able to leave my job. I couldn't just up and leave. You know, I was the only one earning money in the family. We get all these medical bills. So I need to have something else ready to go, but I was going to start that process, start the networking, start to think about what I really want to do, you know, all that kind of stuff. Cause I hadn't been doing anything about being miserable in my job. And that took a while, but that's okay. I made progress on it and I took some specific steps. So that was the second thing. And the third thing was probably the most important. It was to finally actually go and try to talk to someone about these feelings I had from childhood that I had every excuse in the book for not working on myself. You know, I was too busy and, you know, then my wife gets sick and it's like, how am I supposed to get out of work and come to see, you know, come to see someone for me when you need me at home? And like, you know, how are we going to pay for that? Because now not only do we have all our regular bills, now we have all these other medical bills because of, you know, your treatment, which is really important. And so I went and talked to my wife about it. And she's like, I've been asking you to do this for years. We will find a way to make it work. And she's right. And I, you know, I had all that future fear that I was talking about, like, but what about, you know, who's going to help out and who's going to pay the bills and who's this and who's that? And she's just like, you're just talking about going once. It was like, do a day, right? It's like, you're not going to 85 sessions all at once or however many. It's like, you're just going once. You're just going like Tuesday or whatever it is. We can make Tuesday work. And we don't need to worry about anything else because none of those things is happening. So it's just a very like, not one step at a time. It's like, why are you thinking about all of these other things? Like, how are you going to pay the mortgage 8 months from now? That's not happening today. So set it aside for a minute and just work on what you need to today. This is a very freeing way of doing it. And that freedom, that lifting of the weight allowed me to attack the things head on that had been the biggest blockers to me. As I dealt with those, more goals came up, more things I wanted to achieve that were less about solving the wrong in my life and more about adding the good. So I've added goals that are about achievement instead of just overcoming. And that's been really beautiful. And it has been this virtuous cycle, like one success leads to the next and reinforces. So it's been a really positive journey.
I love that idea of, your motivation is different based on different circumstances. I mean, it's a very different situation when you're motivated to take action based on how others think of you versus like in your case, like having your own family and just wanting to strengthen yourself. So, I mean, like it's really deep, not just to do, but to think of the reasoning behind why we're doing what we're doing, because that reasoning can make a difference as to whether we actually stick with what we're deciding to do versus if we don't stick with what we're trying to do. And I know that you wrote the book Do a Day. That is available on Amazon. That will also be in the show notes, markaburry.com/E140. But in addition to your book, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Okay, so there's one that is the single most important book I've read in any recent history, and it's called Open Heart, Clear Mind. It's by a Buddhist monk named Thubten Chodron. It's Thubten, and her last name is Chodron. It's amazing. Like, it's absolutely amazing. It's I would recommend it over my book to anyone. Obviously, I recommend my book, but this is even bigger. And she has another book called Working with Anger that I think is also incredibly important for everybody, whether you're the one with the anger or someone else. And we all have things that bother us and upset us. So there's value in that. So those are two. I don't know if I'm cheating by giving you the same author.
You're fine.
But I've been very blessed to have found her work. And so I've been really focused on that. I'm struggling on the third one because I could give another like life-changing one, but there's also part of me that likes to inject a fun, enjoyable book into the mix. And so I've got one that's kind of a mix of both things. It's a book called Spiritual Graffiti by this yoga teacher and hip hop artist named MC Yogi. It's his life story. And he's got different struggles to me, but a similar kind of like coming through very tough times and darkness into a place of being an inspiration out to others. He just does a really good job telling the story though. So I've really enjoyed that, and it's entertaining and it's a quick read while also being inspiring.
Brian, thank you for sharing those three great book recommendations. And I don't think I've heard those books. Like, those are books that like you're telling them to me, and this is like the first time I've heard about those. So that is very exciting for me because I have more books to add to my reading list. And for anyone who wants those books on their reading list as well, those links are at the show notes. As mentioned before, markaburty.com slash E140. And before we wrap up this episode, I would like to flip the tables a little bit. I'm really excited about your answer because, I mean, like every single answer you provide is just like so jam-packed. So I've asked you a few questions during our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
It's that motivation question that I was saying before is, no matter what else is happening, what will you always care about? And I really think that the vast majority of us out in society don't know the answer to that, because either we've never stopped to ask ourselves, or we're actually afraid of what might come out as we go through that journey, or maybe a bit of both. But without that, it's pretty hard to go through life anything but mindlessly, because you don't know why you're doing it. So that's like a foundational question for me.
Brian, thank you for sharing with us that great question and all of your great insights throughout our time together. And we've been talking about Brian's book, Do a Day. You can get that on Amazon, but you can also learn more about it at doadaybook.com. And Brian also is offering a free exercise for people to help them figure out what they really care about and want to achieve. You guys could all get that at doadaybook.com/the exercise. So the word the, T-H-E, and then E-X-E-R-C-I-S-E. So that's the link to that. Again, that will be in the show notes. But Brian, I can't thank you enough for being a great guest on the show. Thank you for sharing your insights with us today.
Oh, thanks, Mark. I really appreciate it. It's great to talk with you tonight.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgoberti.com/retweets.